I invite children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Everybody's got a seat. Thanks for being here today. I want to talk about a day, just a typical day. It could be a Tuesday, it could be a Thursday, it could be a Saturday, but just a day when you have decisions to make. You get to choose what you want to do, or maybe you want to decide what kind of game you want to play or who you want to talk with. What are you going to do in a typical day? And there's three kind of ways people kind of make choices in what I've been reading. And one of those ways is, how do we feel? We decide what to do based on how we feel or maybe what we're going to say. Have any of you ever gotten angry? Ever gotten upset or mad? Well, when we get angry or upset or mad, it may not be the best time to try and make a decision. And that's a feeling, because our feelings change. We're not angry all the time. Hopefully, most of the time, we're happy. But we have to be careful about just deciding what to do based on how we feel. Because if we're angry at something, we may say something that we wish we wouldn't have had to say. So we have to be careful about guiding by our feelings. Another way that we might decide what to do is, what is everyone else doing? Have you ever been in a situation where a group of people is picking on another child? They're saying mean things, or they're laughing at that child. Well, just because everybody else is doing it, does that mean it's right? No, we don't want to just always do what everyone else is doing. And the third is, what does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible says, be nice. The Bible says, do unto others as you would have them want to do unto you. So if we're mad, you know, and we say, we don't want other people to be mad at us and say mean things to us. Or if we see somebody making fun, well, we don't want to be made fun of. So we have to be careful about just going with our feelings or what everyone else might be doing. And the Bible tells us that when we're angry, you know, we need to pray that God takes that anger away from us. And that everybody needs to be treated well. So yeah, when we're angry, we want to apologize for that. And we want to get happy. And we want to be filled with God's love so that we can do to others what we want them to do to us. So we want to love one another. We want to be nice to one another. If you watch that slideshow that was just up in that video, all those kids all the way over in Africa, everybody in the world, we need to be nice to. Okay, so the Bible gives us a truth, and if we're following the feelings and everyone else, that can be kind of like a broad road in this world. The Bible teaches us to follow a narrow road. And I'll talk more about that in the adult sermon. But for the children, it's the aspect of even those simple decisions of how we say things and how we treat one another is following that narrow road, because Jesus wants us to follow that narrow road and not do just what everybody else is doing. So choose wisely. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of these children. And we pray that as they continue to grow and grow in faith, that they would read the Bible and know the Bible and know how you want us to love you and to love one another. Amen. Thanks for coming up this morning. For our service of installation for Director Jocelyn Walker, I invite Congregational President Linda Hare, Church Elder Greg Walker, and Search Committee Member Ryan Christman to come forward for this service of installation. Two of you can use those mic, and one of you can use the lectern mic. And the vocalist amongst us will use this red mic. But just wait.
The Congregation of St. John's Christian Church, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, has called Jocelyn Walker to be our Director of Youth and Young Adults today. We install her in this ministry among us, according to the faith and order consistent with the biblical and historical traditions of this local congregation. Jocelyn, Servant of God, we invite you forward as a sign of your acceptance of the call to this ministry among us. Installation confirms and celebrates the covenantal relationship between a local church and its leaders, staff, and pastors. Installation is a sign that we covenant together as a congregation and as a director of ministry to be committed to sharing mutually in the mission and ministry of this church and the church universal. Hear these words from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all.
Listen to Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 13, and verse 27. The body is a unit, though it is made up by many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Together, as congregation and director, united through the Spirit of God, we seek to be the body of Christ, the church, for the glory of God and the hope of Christ.
Jocelyn Walker. The congregation of St. John's Christian Church, by the grace of God, has been led to call you as director of youth and young adults. I ask you now, are you willing to enter into covenant with this congregation?
I am willing, and I promise to faithfully serve this church, teaching the Word of God, ministering with youth and young adults, and fulfilling this pastoral office according to the faith and order of this local congregation.
Members and friends of St. John's Christian Church, will those who are able please rise and affirm your covenant with our Director of Youth and Young Adults, using the words printed in the worship bulletin. We,
the members and friends of St. John's Christian Church, affirm Jocelyn Walker as director of our youth and young adult ministries. She is a servant of Jesus Christ, called by God to serve God's people. We pledge to serve with her in the ministry of our church, to pray for and with her, to respect and support her, and to strive to live together in the peace and unity of Jesus Christ.
You may be seated.
You've been called among us to proclaim the good news, good news of Jesus Christ as contained in the Holy Scriptures. We present you with your own copy of the NIV Student Bible. This is the version of the Bible we hand out to our third graders and anybody coming in all the way up through our youth so that you can have the same version and many others to share back and forth with them. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we pray that you would guide us as a congregation, leading us in your will to be your church. We pray for Jocelyn as she leads our youth and young adult ministries and engages in mutual ministries of St. John's. We pray for our congregation. Enable us through your power and presence to be a light to the world, be understanding and compassionate, to be dedicated in our service and ministries, and be devoted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Unite and bind us together through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jocelyn, in the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of St. John's Christian Church, we declare you duly installed as Director of Youth and Young Adults of St. John's Christian Church, to the glory of God. Amen. I'm supposed to shoot your hand.
Yeah. Welcome. Corey would have been here this morning, but he is not feeling well, so let's bow in prayer before the Lord. Lord God, in our time of worship on this Sunday morning, We thank you for all who are gathered in, all who are connected, all who will listen and view. Lord, as we strive to be faithful, as Christians, as believers, as the church, Lord, we admit that there are times when we are filled with wonder of what's going on. When in our daily lives we can wander away. And Lord, we thank you for those times when we are fully seeking you to draw ever closer. And part of that seeking and part of that wondering and part of that wandering finds guidance and comfort in the truth of your holy word, the Bible. Lord, we thank you for your word. A written word written down centuries ago, thousands of years ago. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, your word is alive and active today. And so we thank you for its revelation. From Genesis through Revelation. And Lord, we pray that as we go through each day, each hour, each minute, each second, we would just be mindful to have your will and your way and your truth in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of a Christian congregation that is founded upon your holy word. We thank you for congregations in our area and around the world that we share together in the kingdom of God here on your earth. Guide us, open us up to your will and to your way. As a congregation this morning, we thank you for the mission and the ministry of Kajado Children's Home, for all the staff and all the volunteers, and for the churches and the individuals that are supporting that ministry. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for Susie as she recovers. We pray for Shirley Wise as she continues to go through hospice care. We pray for Don as he continues to wait for that date of surgery. We pray for Sandy as she goes to dialysis 3 times a week, and Lord, as she gains health and strength to return home. We pray for Larry as he further awaits for another consultation. We pray for his peace and strength. We pray for Regina. We pray for Ben as he continues to go through rehab therapy and wait another surgery. We pray for his full healing. And Lord, we pray for Stuart and for Rhonda as they go through these chemo treatments. Lord, we pray for all who are on our hearts and minds that they would know your presence and that you would bless them with your grace and with your love and with your strength. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
This morning, I will be reading 4 passages from the Gospel of John. Our first scripture passage is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Our next passage is John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And our last passage from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is God's holy word.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, in these moments, I pray for the openness of your Spirit to be upon us, that you would open up the revelation of your word to us, that we would know your truth through your Son, Jesus. In Christ we pray, amen. Maybe an illustration, a story from several decades ago. To please a father, a college freshman went out for track. He had no athletic ability whatsoever, though his father had been a good miler in his day. But this young student's first race was a two-man race in which he got to compete against the school miler, and he was badly beaten. Not wanting to disappoint his father, the boy wrote home as follows: "You will be happy to know that I ran against Bill Williams, the best miler in the school. He came in next to last, while I came in second." He came in next to last while I came in second. His statement is true in what he writes to his father. He didn't lie, but that college freshman let out one key fact. There were only two runners in that race. Disguising the truth. Avoiding the truth. And decades long ago, or a century or two, when a stubborn antagonist seemed unconvinced, President Abraham Lincoln said, "Well, let's see. How many legs does a cow have?" "Four." "There you go." "Four, of course," came the reply disgustedly. "That's right," agreed Lincoln. "Now, suppose you call the cow's tail a leg. How many legs would a cow have?" "Why, five, of course," was the confident reply. "Now, that's where you're wrong," said Lincoln. "Calling a cow's tail a leg doesn't make it a leg." Now, believe it or not, a handful of people in the last couple of weeks have shared with me the thought that Sitting in a garage does not make you a car. Got that? cars for a garage, you know, garages for a car, just sitting there doesn't make you a car. Calling a cow's leg a leg doesn't make it a leg. Truth is reality. Truth is reality. A.W. Tozer, long ago pastor and author, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. Truth, cultivating truth, not manipulating words or situations or theological beliefs to manufacture truth, to making truth your own in what you believe. So when it comes to the Bible, what do you believe or not believe? Can a person believe just part of the Bible and not believe the entire truth of the Bible? The Bible is God's revelation to all people, written by men and women, inspired by and through the Holy Spirit. I learned to appreciate years ago one of the passages that was read for us, John 21, verse 25, a verse that gives assurance that the Bible contains all that is needed to know God and to know God's Son, Jesus. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Think about how large a library it would take in order to convey all that Jesus did and said in his 3 years of public ministry. We have enough. We have the Bible. Think about how much longer this might be if everything had been recorded. But God knows we have enough. We have sufficient in the Bible to know the truth of the gospel. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a deceased pastor. The purpose of the gospel is not to amuse us or entertain us or make us happy. The purpose of the gospel is to bring us closer to God. And if we know that purpose, it helps us puts us in the right mindset when we start to read and study the Bible. How many of you use GPS or Google Maps to go from point A to point B? When using Google Maps to find a destination, you can be given multiple ways to arrive at Journey's End. There's the avoid highways route that's especially made for people like my wife who like to travel the country roads and not go fast on those highways. Or there's the tolls required route. So if you don't want to spend any money, you don't want to go that way. Or there's that route for people like myself, the best option, the only option, the fastest route. Google Maps lets the driver be in charge, choosing their preferred way as they see fit. Many Christians believe that the route to heaven is like Google Maps, multiple paths to follow the way we see fit. Do you have a biblical worldview? Or do you have a pluralistic worldview? The answer to that question helps you understand the truth of John 14:6. A worldview is a framework from which we view reality and make sense of life and the world in which we live. A worldview. A biblical worldview is based on the infallible Word of God. When you believe the Bible is entirely and completely true, then you allow the Bible to be the foundation of everything you say and everything you do. A religious pluralistic worldview generally refers to belief in two or more religious religious worldviews as being equally valid or possible or acceptable, accepting multiple paths to God or gods. In John 14:5, we heard that Thomas asked a question of Jesus about knowing the way. Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's exclusive. Many in the world today do not like exclusive statements, but this is an exclusive statement. Jesus didn't say he would show them the way. Jesus didn't say he would make a path for them. Jesus told them, and he tells us, he is the way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I admitted at 8 o'clock that last night Lynn was helping me with my sermon. That wasn't necessarily her intent, but she was reading to me a section of a book, and I only got the last half of what she said. You got to give me the first part once again, talking about the Trinity. But she talked about the unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. What do I want to do? How do I want to get to heaven? How will I have salvation? Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no better way. There's no easier way. There's no faster way. There's no more scenic way. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ. It's exclusive. Jesus is not only the way, but Jesus is the destination. Jesus is the route and the destination. And Jesus knows what it means to be exclusive. I never really thought about that until I read that this week. Think about the time, if you know, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night where he would soon be arrested. Jesus prayed in the garden three different times, praying the same thing to God. "If it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was asking God if there was any other way that he could take to save and to redeem and bring people to the Father. And God said there was one way. And Jesus was arrested, he was beaten and persecuted, and he was crucified. "I am the way and the truth and the life." The truth of the gospel to be saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
We read in the Bible about how Abraham offered up a tithe, a tenth of what he had, to the king and priest of Salem out of thanksgiving for what God had done. And now it is our opportunity to offer up our gifts in gratitude for what God has done for us. I invite the ushers to come forward. we know that Jesus is indeed the way and the truth and our source of life. We ask that you accept our gifts and offerings of thankfulness and sacrifice. Pray that you would use them together with our service to lift each other up and to reach out to our community. Thank you for hearing our prayers and loving us so well. In Jesus' name, amen.
The purpose of the gospel? To bring us closer to God. How do we get to God? Through Jesus. Once again, John 14:6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except by means of me." How do we know Jesus? By abiding in him, by obeying his word, by dwelling with him, by learning from him and reading his word. Our closing song is called Abide, and following the spoken benediction, we will repeat the chorus of Abide.
In his gospel, Jesus calls his people the light of the world. May you go forth and share that light in the saving grace of his love. Amen.